Good afternoon, Tucson, Arizona. This is your boy Slam Cena. And it's been a couple weeks since we've been back in the studio, but good to be back. Nice little 5-day break back in the Bay Area. Much needed. And definitely a good change of pace, but good to be back. Good to be back. Got to grind out these 3 weeks. 2.5 or 2, I don't even know. It's pretty, it's getting down to the wire for some of us. Graduation is coming up, and pretty big deal. So it's gonna be cool seeing this thing come down to a close. But we got some pretty good stuff to talk about today. And I know a lot of us were watching that game on Saturday night, or that's not Saturday night, Saturday afternoon. Very interesting. First day game of the year was the last game. And Arizona was up 20 points at halftime. 20. And ASU scores 20 unanswered to beat us. And that was just, you know, not fun. Definitely the worst fourth quarter of football I've ever seen in my entire life. That, there's no doubt about that. It was brutal. Like, think about a game that you think the seniors want to win so badly. It is their last time ever getting to play on that field for that team, for this school. And that's how it had to end, by 1 point. Just like, the thing that gets me, there's a few things that we're going to talk about. The first thing is, why in the world does Sumlin think that he needs to go for 2 points that early in the game? It was 19-7, okay? That's a 12-point differential, and if you miss the 2 point, it stays as a 12-point differential. There's no, I don't even know what he was thinking. Put it to 13, that's at least 2 possessions, or at least 3 possessions that they have to be ahead. The 12 was just such a weird number to be kind of up by for a little bit. And they did it twice. They went for 2 twice. And that just struck me. I mean, that's the thing you do in the fourth quarter. 2 minutes, game is coming down to the close. You know, you got to make a move. Yeah, go for 2. That's completely fine. But not in the second quarter. I mean, like, that's just like, that's something you do in Madden. You know, that's when you're trying to complete a solo challenge and you're trying to just get it because you got to just go for the challenge. That's it. Yeah, not in the territorial cup, not in the last game for these seniors, not in the last game for a bowl game. I mean, come on. Like, just think a little bit more than what you're going for in that just stupid scenario. It bugs me. I mean, that is the game that it's detrimental. Like, that's the game that throws you off for a long time. ASU was not supposed to win that. We handed them the game. We said, oh, you want 20 points? Here you go. We'll serve it up for you right on a plate. No problem. I mean, just does not make sense, the types of moves that they were going for. And here's another thing. Here's a second. So, I have never in my life heard of any football team using 2 kickers. 2? I mean, Arizona has a short kicker and a long kicker. That has to throw off some sort of mojo that team is going for. I mean, what in the world is that approach? If that kicker wants any chance of making it to the pros, he's got to be able to make any type of kick. And that is showing alone right now. I've been saying it all year. There's a kicking epidemic right now in the NFL. It's It's the veterans like Robbie Gould and Matt Bryant and Dan Bailey, Blair Walsh, these guys that have been money, even Justin Tucker. They're missing PATs. They're missing 25-yarders. And it's like, I mean, it makes sense why the Bucs wanted to try for Aguayo in the second round. I mean, that didn't work out. He wasn't the right fit on that team, but kudos to them for trying to get a kicker. I mean, it's a problem. It's a huge problem. And it's not fun watching your kicker, you know, miss an easy kick that you know is makeable, you know? Nobody wants to see that. That's just the worst thing in the world. Also, fantasy perspective. Let's say you got a kicker, 10-year veteran. You know, he's been making these kicks his whole career. And misses a 10-yarder, misses a 25. You're just like, what? How in the world? Like, that's just not possible. Anyway, going back to this Arizona kicking situation. This guy's a fifth-year senior. I mean, man, he tweeted out right after the game that this is all on him, you know? And, man, it's not. I mean, it's coaching. It's Khalil not running when there was a clear-cut 12-yard lane in front of him and decides to throw a pick down the field. Again, like, we saw it in that Monday night game with the Chiefs, Mahomes. He sent it a little bit too early. And, you know, he had the weapons. Of course he's got the weapons on that team. Everyone knows the weapons on the Chiefs. But the timing of the game and still the timeout that they had, that was not the right move. And if Khalil even wants to advance to this to the next level, he's going to need to, one, look at more than one receiver, not have just one receiver in his mind, and he's gonna need to know when to make those instant decisions. You know, instead of bombing it down the field on a risky pass, run it. I mean, use your legs. It's how you made your name for yourself last year. I mean, it's little things. It's just like, it's little things that this team can fix, but they're this close. They're literally just, they're right there. But they couldn't finish. It was, you know, people's parents came out for this game. The players' parents came out for this game. This game was everything. This game is everything for the city of Tucson, at least. Because we do not have professional sports like Phoenix and around the Phoenix area does. Not a chance. So, when you get a game that, one, whenever Tucson gets a bowl game, especially when U of A gets a bowl game, it's just better, one, for the school, and it's better for the city, you know? And it's going to be really, really sad to see if we keep up this style of play. If we do not change, then there's going to be clear-cut some problems. So we are going to go to our first break. When we come back, we will be talking about some NBA, some Dubs, how the Dubs have won 3 in a row, how they might be back, and we'll definitely be addressing this offseason 100%. We got some pretty crazy free agents coming up, so stick around, and thank you for listening to the Grand Slam. To choose that I would.
see me sunset. Don't change ever since we was on. I dreamed it all ever since I was young. They said I won't be nothing. Now they always say congratulations. Work so hard to vacation.
And welcome back to the Grand Slam here on a nice old Tuesday in the old Pueblo, a little southwest Arizona. Great, great part of the country right now as a lot of winter blizzards and storms are coming in and blowing some cities through. Not pretty in the Midwest or the East, but it's looking pretty nice out here in Tucson. A lot of sunshine, not too hot, not too cold, nice little 75. Take it. We'll always take it. But now we are heading back to the sports talk of this week. And first of all, I just want to talk about the Warriors. Haven't really been able to talk about them in a while. But there was some beef going on with Dre and KD. And, you know, that was kind of the first. I was reading an article in the San Francisco Chronicle when I was back, and it was about, you know, Kerr was saying how he was glad how this is happening, you know, or how that kind of little thing happened. And that's not really something that you would ever expect from your head coach to say, that they kind of want a riff. But this team has been too good for the NBA for the last 4 years, and I think everyone knows that. Even the players and the coaches, you know, they came together in probably one of the best ways any other NBA team has ever been constructed over a 4 or 5 year period. Their success has been shown in their championships, and they're just, you know, they changed their whole dynamic of their team over the last decade. So it's really interesting because you don't really get a turnaround like that normally. Pretty tough to see a team make a rapid change. You see teams that have been trying to rebuild for years now, and they just have not gotten the formula right. But for some reason, with this team and with this coach, it's clicked. But of recent, there was a little riff. And there were some words exchanged on and off the court between the two. And, you know, it was about KD leaving and free agency. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be KD. I don't think that he's going to be the one. I know it's KD, Boogie, and Clay right now. But it doesn't feel like the time of departure is now. I feel like if any of those three are to leave, it's going to be Boogie, because I feel like he's been on the team the least. You know, he's had probably the least amount of chemistry. But, I mean, they did sign him for, you know, super cheap. So, I mean, if they could, you know, finesse another way to get that, so be it. But, I mean, that's just going to be really hard to be able to even to retain Clay, too. Now at this rate that he's just performing at, it's unreal. His value has just skyrocketed since the time he got drafted. So, I don't know. I think that the Dubs lost, you know, 3-4 games in a row before. They had a pretty brutal losing streak. And it was weird seeing that team lose to, you know, these teams. Some of them are, you know, good teams. Other teams we could have beat, you know, and there's just a little stride that they were not performing to their full potential. And it was very visible. It was extremely visible. But when you win 3 in a row, that adds a little, you know, a little mojo back to you, a little mojo back in your stride. And it adds a little pep in their step. They're going to want to just keep this going. You know, they had a good win last night against the Magic. KD drops 49. 49? Like, I mean, I know he's KD, and I know he can do that, but just, like, man, 49, just like that, and get this, down 18 at halftime. So seeing that tells me there's nothing to be worried about right now. And they haven't even seen Boogie hit the floor yet. That's what's scary. Like, they can hit their full stride, full strength, whenever he's back, January or February, I'm hoping. I heard rumors about February, which would be great. You know, get him right around the All-Star break. That'd be a perfect time to just kind of slip him in. But, you know, overall, this offseason, there's a lot of good free agents that I think probably will change teams. Normally, when you got big guys out there, I think a lot of them like to just kind of stay where they are. Their life is easy there. You know, they've been settled for a while. But there are a lot of high-quality free agents. Not a lot of names that we've seen on a list like this before. I mean, the top 10 is pretty remarkable. The top 15 is pretty remarkable, to be honest. But, yeah, so it's KD, Kawhi, Kyrie, Jimmy Butler, Clay, Kemba, who's having an MVP caliber season this year. I just want to put that out there. Averaging 28.2 a game and 6.6 assists per game. Kemba Walker is changing the dynamic of the Charlotte Hornets in the right time. Let's just put that out there right now. So whoever's going for Kemba next year is going to get a franchise-changing point guard. He is hitting his peak at the perfect time. And it's a contract year. I mean, it makes sense. It's the first time he's ever been a free agent since he's been drafted. So, I mean, we'll see how they do. But I think it's going to be interesting to see if he goes somewhere else. Another big name, Kristaps. Then you got DeMarcus Cousins. Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton, Nikola Mirotic, Al Horford, Marc Gasol. There's a lot of big names. It's a pretty good list, if you ask me. So I think there's going to be a lot of movement come after this NBA Finals. I think that a lot of new dynamics, a lot of new teams are kind of going to start being formed because people know they have to put it together like the Warriors. They have to do a little homegrown and a little splash. Because when you go all one-sided, that's when you get blown out because either you can't develop the chemistry or you're too young. And the Warriors did a perfect mix of both. I think that's why they've been so successful. So I think teams are going to start to try to mirror that image more and more and more in this next coming decade. Because we also do have players like Zion Williamson that's going to just come in and change the whole league. Like, he is going to be the new face of what the NBA is. That style of play, that aggression, is just, I don't think we've seen a player like that since LeBron's come into the draft. And that was out of high school. And Williamson is just one of the most athletic basketball players, I think, in the country right now, in college basketball. So I don't know. I think that the NBA is definitely going to change over the course of the next, going into this next decade in 2 years. That's when I think we're really going to see a visible change in sports, a visible change in technology that's included in sports. I think in the next decade, also live streaming of sports is going to be improved, so being able to watch sports more efficiently. Those are just like some things that I think are going to be kind of incorporated into the sports world as we hit the 2020s. And that's going to be really cool, I think, to see, to be able to track development of kind of at least this last 10 years, because a lot of stuff has happened. A lot of things in sports have changed. A lot of things are not the same. And I think it's been a lot more positive than negative, but definitely something to keep in consideration. So, with that, just kind of want to move into maybe like some football, NFL, because this was a big week. This was a huge week, actually. A lot of news happened. Reuben Foster, first-round draft choice of the San Francisco 49ers. He is no longer on that roster. And it's his third arrest of the year, second domestic violence-related case. And Reuben Foster is just, like, one of the most sad cases, honestly, that the Niners have taken a part of. They gave him so many opportunities. Like, they went on a limb for this guy because they believed in his potential. And, I mean, I saw what Reuben could do in the games that he did play. And when Fred Warner got drafted, I was like, all right, Niners got some linebackers now. We got a pretty decent duo. This is going to be the future right here. But that was only if we could keep Reuben out of off-the-field issues. And we couldn't. And so now, you know, Niners are 2-9, and, or 2-10 maybe? I don't even know now. It's so brutal. Yeah, so with that being said, the Niners are definitely going to get the first or second choice of the draft. And there's a lot of things that the Niners could use. Obviously, they could use some weapons on the offensive end. Definitely could add a wide receiver. I was looking up at a mock draft, and John Lynch actually was saying that how now we need to address the pass rush. Ugh, cannot talk. Anyway, yeah, John Lynch was like, yeah, we have to get someone who can rush. And they were pulling up some mock drafts with Nick Bosa from Ohio State as the number one choice. And, you know, I would be so happy with that because I think a lot of people know Joey Bosa and they know what he can do. I think Nick Bosa is going to be a little bit better than him, which is crazy. Just being able to see potential in someone that's a number one choice like that, he reminds you of JJ, he reminds you of Joey Bosa, you know? So that would be an instant change in that defense. But then there was also this wide receiver that came up in the second round, Anthony Johnson, from University of Buffalo, which is where Khalil Mack went. And, you know, pretty decent school to produce a pretty good, you know, pretty good product. And I was watching this guy's highlight film, and he's 6'4 and 235 pounds. And I cannot tell you the last time the Niners have had a receiver like that tall and that big on their roster, ever. The last time they took a first-round wide receiver was A.J. Jenkins, who is no longer on that team. And he has not been on that team for about 3 or 4 years now. So I want a receiver that can stay on this team and become a name on the San Francisco 49ers roster. I want him to be one of the fantasy wide receivers that you can put on your team and get 15 points. You know, that's the type of guy I want. So if we can find a guy like that in the second round, that would be huge. But anyway, I actually just looked up this news about Reuben Foster, and it is apparent that the Washington Redskins have claimed him. And this is pretty recent. This is in the last hour. So I'm not really sure how that's going to work. There's definitely going to be some more news that come out about that. But the thing about Washington is they have a lot of Alabama players. And there's 7. So that's a lot easier probably to come in with a scenario like this, where you kind of probably know a lot of the guys on the team have the chemistry from college. I feel like it's going to be a lot better there than it was here. He was probably too pressured, probably just too many temptations early on in his career. But, you know, getting cut like that from the team that drafts you is definitely a wake-up call. So, I mean, the Redskins, this is a complete low-risk signing, high reward. So if it works out, great. That'd be awesome. Redskins are looking pretty decent right now, and adding another good defensive piece would be absolutely helpful. But, I mean, it's just, is he going to mess up again? It's these off-the-field issues over and over and over that just seemed to keep coming up. And it's just, oh, man, seeing those players that just test the limit is always so hard because you know what they can do, but they just keep hitting that same hole every single time. So, I don't know. I think that the Niners, they made the right move, you know. They gave him three opportunities. And if it means getting cut and getting picked up by another team to really get that kick in the face, so be it. You know, kudos to the Redskins for taking a shot. At least they actually gave him a shot, unlike Colin Kaepernick, who just continues to keep getting blackballed. And it's like, okay, everybody knows what's going on. You know, these stupid owners think that they're so entitled to their stupid politics, and they just keep including it unnecessarily when guys like Tom Savage are getting signed. Tom Savage, okay? The dude has been on like 4 or 5 teams since he's been drafted 3, 4 years ago. You know, Cody Kessler is starting for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Are you really trying to tell me that Cody Kessler deserves a job over Colin Kaepernick, skill-wise? Do not include politics. I don't want to hear anything about that because I am so tired of those excuses of we don't want the distraction. Okay, Nathan Peterman was a distraction because he sucks. You know, Cody Kessler will be a distraction because he sucks. Give Cap a chance. I am getting so pissed off, so tired of these stupid headlines every Monday, waking up, hearing about these injuries that happen, and you're just like, are you kidding me? Like, it just makes no sense. I am so beyond tired of this collusion, this clear-cut collusion. It's not like it's undeniable. It's like, absolutely grinds my gears. Because I know he deserves a chance. And I know he's ready. Because Colin Kaepernick is not a bad quarterback. He's just not. I mean, the man can run. I mean, he's got a great pair of legs. He can run the football. He's smart on the line. I mean, yeah, every quarterback makes mistakes like Kaepernick has made. You know, he makes bad throws. You fumble. But Nathan Peterman was fumbling. Cody Kessler fumbles. And that's just doesn't make sense why these guys have jobs. I mean, I feel like that there should just be some Bible by these quarterbacks like Matt Cassel and Cody Kessler and Tom Savage and Nathan Peterman. And how do we keep getting signed instead of Colin Kaepernick, written by about 13 to 15 quarterbacks? I mean, I think that should be the regulation because it's just not adding up anymore. I mean, he's ready to go. He's still athletic. You know, there are about 8 to 10 teams that could use Colin Kaepernick right now but still continue to use the lame excuse of he's going to be a distraction. Because I don't want to hear it. I just don't. It makes no sense. But anyway, we will be taking a short break. And on the next segment, and most likely the final segment, we're going to be talking some fantasy. It's week 13 next week, everyone. This is it. It's do or die. Most teams I know right now are in a win-out situation. So there's some injuries we got to take into account. There's some pickups on the wire this week that are going to be detrimental, you know. So we'll cover that when we come back from break. And thank you for listening to the Grand Slam. Thank you. And welcome back to the final segment of the Grand Slam here on a nice little Tuesday. Nice little 75 degree day. Probably one of the best feeling days we've had here in a long time, to be honest. This summer, if you've spent the summer in Tucson, it is pretty brutal. About 100 degrees every day. So that definitely takes a toll on you, but you pray for these days. These are the days that you just wish for. But as I was saying, week 13, here we go. This is really it. I mean, most leagues end now after this week and then hit 3 weeks of playoffs. It really depends on how your league is formed, but most leagues are like this. So, injuries. There were some big ones this week. Like, not bench player, but there were some starters that went down. Big-time starters. Not a huge, big fantasy starter, but it impacts other players. And that's Andy Dalton. Impacts other players, I will get to, because I actually think it's better for players like Tyler Boyd, and when AJ comes back, we'll see how that goes. But for now, with Boyd and Ross, I think they're both going to benefit from Driscoll, which is just, like, crazy to say. He was a six-round draft pick from the Niners in 2016, and now he's the starting quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, sucks that Dalton goes down, but I don't think Dalton's a good quarterback. I just don't. I mean, I think they should have given up on him a long time ago. So I think this is actually coming in a pretty decent time. I mean, sucks that he, you know, injured his thumb. He's going to be out for that. But other than that, I think that this team's finally going to start to see some flourishment. I mean, Mixon's going to probably start going. We saw Tyler Boyd get 76 yards and a touchdown this week. 5 or 6 receptions. That's utilization. And that's the kind of thing that you really want to see going into playoffs, is your guys like that are getting utilized. And I just don't think Dalton was really doing that. We saw in the last few weeks, Alex Smith went down, Cooper Kupp went down, O.J. Howard went down. But some more recent injuries this week were Marvin Jones on the Detroit Lions. He's going to be out for the year. And there's also some other ones. Let's see. Andy Dalton. Let's see. Alex Smith. He was last week. I'll find it. But anyway, there's some big... Oh, Melvin Gordon. That's what I was going to say. Melvin Gordon. And he's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. And that's a top five running back right there. That's a guy that has been a workhorse for that Chargers all year, but it always comes down to week 12 and 13 for Melvin, where he gets used so much. And that's why they started to incorporate Austin Eckler more, was to give him a little lighter workload. But Melvin's been dealing with that hamstring all year long. It's been an issue all year long, whether it's been on that fantasy report or not. And this injury that he had last week was an MCL. So that wasn't even anything in his hamstring. That's all in the knee. So completely new. So that's putting a completely new toll on his body that is going to keep him out. And that's 2 to 4 weeks. If it's a full 4 weeks, that's all of this week and playoffs. So he's done. And, you know, I had him up until 2 weeks ago. And I've been kind of had this bad feeling about hamstring injuries this year in the NFL. And because Dalvin has had something, Leonard's had something, it just seemed like something was going to happen more. And I had a feeling, so I dumped him. And I got Kerryon Johnson, who's hopefully coming back this week. And I got Tyler Boyd from it, too. So I think I won that trade now. And I just had this feeling that he was gonna go down late season with a tough schedule ahead. So, knowing that, go for Austin Eckler this week. He's gonna be that workhorse going in for the next 2 to 4 weeks, and that's all you need. That's all you need now. Playoffs are only 3 weeks. And if you have a chance to get him, if you're number one in the waivers, snag him. He's there for a reason, because he gets passes too. So if you have a PPR league or a half point, that adds even more to his value. So I would go for him, especially. But a lot of tight ends, you know, are also going down. O.J. Howard went down. So if you can, Cameron Brate is a great option, because O.J.'s out for the year completely. And Cameron Brate got an early touchdown versus the Niners last week and 10 points just like that. So if you need a tight end, Brate's there, go for him. You know, the Denver guy, Jeff Hermann, he's been out since last week. Or since this game, he got injured. And they had a couple other guys that they were using too, but nothing really worthwhile that you should really go out of your way to pick up. But, yeah, definitely go for Brate. He gets used by Jameis. He's a big target. He's got good hands, and he runs good routes. And he's also a good blocking tight end too, so you can really get shifty with a lot of the plays that you can run. You can start fooling the defense. Another great performance this week was from LeGarrette Blount, Detroit Lions. And that was in the absence of Kerryon Johnson. But if Kerryon is back this week, plug him in. That's going to be the Lions need anything right now after Marvin goes down. And not having Golden Tate anymore, they're really just going to have to rely on Kenny Golladay. And I think Kerryon Johnson is their best playmaker in general that Stafford could really get crafty with. So I think that if he could, you know, get involved in the pass game, he could get close to 15, 16 fantasy points. And I think that's a good, if he's healthy, that's a good back to ride, you know, kind of going in playoffs. Because the Detroit Lions are in this kind of stage of they're not going to make the playoffs, but they kind of still got to play. They're not really in the bottom of the pack for the draft pick, so they're kind of just, we're going to keep the throttle going. So if Kerryon's in, play him. But if it's going to be LeGarrette, then, you know, that's another consideration as well. Because they were really, who do we go with, Zach Zenner or LeGarrette or someone else. I always forget his name. The last guy, he's a pass-catching running back. But they have three potential guys, and they went with Blount pretty much the whole game. And so that was cool. I picked him up because I got Kerryon. And definitely a good kind of handcuff. So look out for those guys that are on playoff teams that they're going to stop using. So Todd Gurley, Rams are going to make playoffs. That's 100%. Coming in the next couple weeks, they're going to stop using Gurley because of they don't want him to get injured. So if there's Malcolm Brown, you know, around on your free agents, that's a good guy to get. He's not going to get work probably in the next week or two. But after that, they're going to start benching Todd. So, Turkey, if you're listening to this, Malcolm Brown is a great guy to go get. So look him up on free agents right now. See if he's available. Definitely someone that you should be looking for. Because he will be good if you do make the playoffs, you're going to want to play a type of guy that's going to get 10 at least. And the playoffs are where you need those right plays. Like, if you're not playing the right guys, you're not going to have a good chance of winning that game. Take that from me with experience. But, yeah, a lot of those playoff teams, Eckler even, you know, still going to get used. Now with Gordon out, they have all the reason to use him even more. So even if Gordon's fine, 2 weeks comes, Eckler's still going to be involved in the pass game, and they're probably just still going to bench Gordon regardless. So I think Eckler would be probably the best pickup of this week. Another tandem that you could be looking for, if you have Leonard Fournette, got him a fight after the game. And he's suspended for one game. So if you stuck with T.J. Yeldon, might be a good play. If you got Carlos Hyde, you know, that might be the better play, I think. Just because newly acquired, you know, they still kind of have to use him. They haven't really seen those Carlos Hyde 20-point games yet. And I feel like he's just a better running back overall than T.J. Yeldon. T.J.'s always kind of been the backup when Leonard has not been available over the last couple seasons. So definitely something to keep, you know, in consideration, because I think we're going to need to have all these guys on free agency that are valuable to snag now rather than later. Because if you go for it too late, they're not going to be there. So it's good to know to get ahead before free agents go in normally Wednesday morning. So I think tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. is when they go in. So just keep those waivers, you know. Find your good pickup. Find the one. I picked up Aaron Jones a few weeks ago, and I don't know how I snagged him. He was just there, but he ended up being my number one running back right now over the last couple weeks, and that was a great fill-in. So there's always, even when you don't think that there's someone there, there's going to be a gem that you could find going forward in the next week, because no one even can predict it. You know, it's even analysts can't predict it. They try and they don't. So something to keep in consideration going forward. Last couple things I'm going to talk about, the importance of team defense and the importance of a kicker. And I touched about it a little bit in the earlier part of the show, but there is a kicking problem going on right now in this league. There are veterans that are just missing kicks that they can make in their sleep, that they've made in their holistic career. And I don't know why it's just starting to happen now, but these guys should not be missing. And these extra points are where it's really killing these teams. You just would not think, oh, my kicker's going to miss a 25-yard kick for an extra point. Like, I know they moved it back, but still, it does not add up that they have to be missing at this rate. It's just like, man, I've never seen it this bad. And teams are losing crucial games, very crucial games. And you would think that teams would start trying to do better in the draft. I mean, the Jets got a good kicker this year, Jason Myers. He's a rookie, and he's one of the best kickers in the league. And he kind of reminds me of, like, that Justin Tucker year when he came in, and he was a rookie, and he was one of the best kickers. So I think teams need to start doing a lot better scouting on special teams. I mean, college special teams has got to be so much more driven now. I mean, they have to just really try to get it right there. Producing good kickers is going to be a next wave thing that I think teams have really got to start keying in on. Because a lot of these games are coming down to 3 points or less. And just like Arizona, they lost by one. They went for two twice. They could have won. We could have had the game by just kicking the ball. So, I don't know. It still doesn't really add up to me. But also, last point is team defense. You need a good defense to be successful in the playoffs. I don't know how I won this week. I was starting Cincinnati D. And I don't know if any of you guys saw the Cincinnati-Cleveland game. They gave up 35 points allowed. That was a total of -2 fantasy points. And when you have -2 fantasy points, you just think automatically, all right, I'm done. I am done. There's just no way I can come back from this by having -2 before really any of my players have finished their games. And you just start thinking, yep, that's the season. That's it right there. Luckily, Juju Smith had a game for me, and Tyler Boyd and Aaron Jones and Deshaun Watson also played extremely well last night. But the importance of having a defense that can get you at least 10, like keeping you right at the mark, is very important. And if you can get anything over 10, like Chicago's been doing this year, Chicago's been like the Minnesota defense of the last, like Minnesota's been the defense the last couple of years. Chicago's playing like them. Like they have changed that culture around. Khalil Mack has turned that culture around. And it's fun to watch those games. Like those games are very fun to watch. So definitely a crazy week or two in sports. A lot went down. Dang. Crazy hearing about all these stories. It's going to be cool going into the free agency for basketball in the next, you know, 5-6 months after the NBA Finals. And the MLB, we're hitting right in the middle of this offseason right now. It's coming. And it's hard to hear. Josh Donaldson signed yesterday for 1 year's or 1 year, $23 million with the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, Donaldson's still at his MVP level. He could be. But he could also be that dud player that he's been the last year, 2 years. But $23 million is a hefty amount of change. But Atlanta solidified their power hitters with bringing back Brian McCann, old veteran for the Atlanta Braves. And now they got some pop with Josh Donaldson. So that's going to be really fun. Bringing in two veterans on a young team. They'll bring in some good guidance. But yeah, good year or good year ahead for those young teams, Phillies, the Braves, the Brewers. It's going to be fun looking at a new kind of era of baseball, I think, in the next couple years. 2020 is where real change is going to occur. I think that's when, you know, I said it before, all sports are going to be completely different going into this next decade. But I think it's going to be really cool to look at it individually, to look at each sport in a different way than we're doing right now. And baseball, I think, is going to be on right on top of that. So, with that being said, thank you all for listening in to the Grand Slam. I appreciate all the viewers, all the listeners, and all the continuous support. So we will see you next week, next Tuesday, 4 to 5 on 1570 AM Camp Student Radio. We will see you next week.